Hello, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and welcome back to Fantasy Fireside, where we discuss bits and bobs about Warhammer Fantasy. It's many factions, it's many characters, and all sorts. So, Colin, what are we talking about today?
What we're talking about, Andy, is I want to ask you if this sounds familiar. A large, powerful nation ruled by a godlike figure who doesn't like being worshipped as a god, who has several incredibly powerful, but not quite as powerful as him, children, who has a grand overarching plan to stop chaos that he's not really told any of them about. Does any of this sound familiar?
North Korea?
Indeed, we're talking about North Korea.
No, the Imperium. I'm assuming you're alluring to the Imperium.
I am, in fact, doing that. Yes, it is. It is exactly what I'm going for. But it's not the Imperium. It is the mythical nation of Grand Cathay, which, for those of you who don't know, is only a slightly more original name than what they gave Japan, which is just Nippon. And that's only because less people know about Cathay being another name for China than people know about Nippon being a name for Japan.
And isn't it Indy instead of India?
They didn't even get that. It's just Ind.
Yeah, they just took the letters out. Like, yeah, fuck it. It'll be fine.
No one. They sometimes, you know, the creativity's flowing. You get something just with a really unique name. Sometimes you just got to take away two letters.
Fair enough.
But that doesn't mean Cathay's not fun to talk about. I have found that since they came out in Total Warhammer, boy, did I want to get a Cathayan army, which, with some teasers, hopefully, for hopefully a little bit down the line, that might actually be happening.
I do find it interesting that, like, the what's the company that makes Total War?
Creative Assembly.
Creative Assembly. Like, Creative Assembly are basically entirely responsible for the lore we're about to talk about, aren't they, more or less? It's like they've done more for Warhammer Fantasy lore than Games Workshop in the last few years in some regards.
Yeah. In fact, old Cathay lore really was... there was a little bit more than some of the other generic, like background nations, but... they definitely weren't even the one with the most. Like, where would they go? Like, Kislev, Estalia, Tylea, Araby, even. They all definitely had more lore. Cathay was probably the Asian equivalent country with the most lore, did not have a lot. It kind of starts and ends with, They had, of course, the Silk Road, still just called the Silk Road. They did not change the name from real life to Warhammer.
That'll do, yeah.
The Dragon Emperor dropped a rock on the Ogre Kingdoms, and they have strange living creatures made of stone, as in they had, like, you know, those terracotta warriors? Well, what if they were alive and could kill you? That was kind of...
the enormous ones in Total Warhammer. I'm like, oh, they look cool.
Yeah. That was I don't think they don't believe they were even like the big ones yet. They just had like the terracotta warrior standard that just happened to be living. And this was all from background, either the occasional white dwarf book or magazine or the Tamerkan Thrones of Chaos, Forge World book. Wasn't much about them. But then we enter, I believe it was 2021 or 2022, when Total Warhammer 3 was coming around. The end game of the trilogy. They've got 4.5 of the new factions they want. You know, you've of course got the 4 Chaos Gods and a demon for the non-aligned, all the demons together, fun box faction. You've got Kislev. You've got the Ogres. It's, you know, you kind of want someone else, though, you know? The demons are, they don't necessarily play similarly, but they're kind of much smaller rosters than the other factions in the game. Kislev's Kislev's decently fleshed out. The ogres needed some help, but another one would be good. So, in conjunction with Games Workshop, an 8th edition Warhammer Fantasy Army book was made for Cathay. Ooh. Which you don't get to see. No one gets to see. So we know it exists, but we don't get to use those rules. Which
just
is
like in a gigantic vault with a Space Marine helmet on the front. Just like it's in the vaults of Warhammer HQ somewhere.
It is a little bit galling that exists, and it's not even a PDF for like a collector's thing somewhere.
Oh, that's a shame.
But bright side, what that did was Creative Assembly, as you said, went a little bit nuts, turned that rule book into units for the game, and suddenly, without, if I'm remembering correctly, not much ceremony, they're like, oh, hey, guy, here's the next Warhammer 3 trailer. Grand Cathay, what are you doing here? This is a nice surprise. And so suddenly, we have Cathay as an actual fleshed-out faction. Not as much as, you know, obviously the Empire, who's had 40 plus years of books devoted to them. But I think they're doing better than the leagues.
I was just about to say, in comparison to the leagues, though, I'm sure they're doing pretty good.
they have multiple characters to talk about and discuss that are all, in spite of, you know, a fairly like light amount of lore, I actually quite like his characters.
I'm sure we'll go into them.
We will. We'll start.
Although it's interesting with like Creative Assembly, basically, at least in terms of lore, it's kind of an unprecedented thing to just be like, hey, we're just going to make independently this faction completely fleshed out all of a sudden in one fell swoop. And we're not even going to make a big ceremony about it. Just say, oh, by the way, we just revolutionized this faction. Lol. Oh, thanks, guys. Awesome.
If I'm remembering correctly, in the order of like the trailers, it was the first one with Kislev that was just kind of like, there was three. There was one that was like in a Empire College of the or Wizard of the Heavens, looking at the stars to read the future. That didn't have much. Just that was really, hey, the game's coming. Don't worry, it's getting close. The second one was Kislev, and then the Cathayan Legendary Lord trailer dropped for Miao Ying, and hey, it looks really cool.
Yeah. Well, I'm excited to get into it. So, how are we going to crack this one today? Are we going into the history of the lands or the biggest characters? Or how are we going to approach this today?
It is still a fairly light amount of lore, so we'll go through the history of the nation. We'll go through the characters. Talk about, of course, Big D. It's not Big E. It's Big D. Big Dragon Emperor.
Big D. Just laying it on the table, like got Big D versus Big E.
But and of course, you know, the dragon primarchs, the dragon children. But I have a surprise for you, Andy. They all have a mother. Big D's married.
Really?
He is. And he didn't banish her to the middle of nowhere with the first Space Marine mate or whatever the hell was going on with Leetu.
He had like au naturel Primarch babies.
Oh yeah.
Traditional way.
All of these babies were made the natural way.
That poor lady. I'm hoping it was like that. Are they like the same size as a Primarch?
She's also got some stuff going on.
Okay.
She's also not quite human.
Okay, then that's fair enough, because I'm just about... could you imagine giving birth to Rabute Gilliman? That would be horrendous. Like, oh, he's massive! Jeez.
Did they say how big they were in the capsule? Now that I'm actually thinking about it, when they were like first made, were they baby-sized and just got huge? Or were they still proportionate, so a baby Primarch is like 2 feet?
I know they like rapidly grow, so they obviously age really quick. They're like baby to teenager to adult in like a year or so. They're like pretty quick, but it's like, I assume it's got to be like, because you think of like normal babies when they're born, sometimes you're just like, oh, that's a big baby, poor mother. And like, I would assume they'd be pretty chunky babies. Like, that's not fun. Especially imagining having 21 all at once if it was the original Primarchs. Like, oh. That'd be dreadful, but at least I'm guessing these babies were born a few years apart, and so there's a bit more of a I'm the oldest. I'm the youngest. Ha ha. Hierarchies in our family.
They're,
I'm assuming there's not 19.
No, there's 9, however. So there's still...
Oh.
In a, I mean, like I said, these were they were born the normal way, so that's a lot of kids.
Hmm. Just like the Dragon Emperor, and like, right, first one's done, right, I'll see you in a minute, we're going to make number 2. Okay.
So, yeah.
Get them out there, get them out there, we got to get them now. Go, 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 go.
Mm-hmm. I mean, hey, it was probably more fun to make them than it was for whatever Big E was doing.
Yeah, Malkador just have a syringe going, all right, here we go. Where are you putting that? You don't want to know. Okay.
Although, if you'd like, I guess as a secret spoiler, it's not even a spoiler because this is just a one-off line from Nakari, you know, the keeper of secrets.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, they were watching them make the dragon children. Hopefully, that's just an idle Total War taunt and not something much grosser.
I'm sure that would annoy the Dragon Emperor, just like a Chaos Demon, like, I saw you two doing it bareback. Like, oh, no.
Get the hell out of my house.
Shut him up. Shut him up. Kill him. Kill him now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Poor guy. But shall we start with the history?
Let's go.
So for once in the realm of human nations, we actually do go back to before the old ones. There were no humans yet. But if you might remember from other ones, before the old ones showed up and started dicking around with the world, there were dragons on the Warhammer world. It was a colder place. It was the dragons were, you know, kind of the dominant life form. There's a lot of other races. Then the old ones show up and just kind of start getting rid of things they don't like.
I'm getting Dark Souls flashbacks. Like, there were dragons. And then the old ones... came in, they got rid of all the dragons. Oh no.
Yeah. Although in this case, Gwyn was a T-Rex.
That's awesome.
Naturally, the dragons were not happy that the old ones warmed up the planet by shifting the entire thing closer to the sun. But the lore for the T-Rex model the Lizardmen have was that it ate so many dragons so efficiently that they had to get out of Lustria. So they couldn't really do much to stop them. Some of them would eventually shack up with, you know, the elves, as we talked about before. They, you know, they best friends with the elves. That'd give me an ego, too, if my dragon or my best friend was a dragon. But some of them did, went off and did their own thing. Most important of them being, of course, the Dragon Emperor, who, even at this time, was probably still the most powerful dragon. Definitely by the time the old ones were done murdering a lot of them, he went east to what would have been Cathay. Well, what would become Cathay. Eventually, some human tribes were found in the area because the old ones just kind of started plopping down humans everywhere. So, for protection, they eventually came to him because... he started initially like, oh, there's some, you know, barbarian, like, not even, like, hunter-gatherer caveman tribes. Let's get them as followers, you know. They're here now. I might as well make the most of it. And then chaos showed up, and more started showing up and coming on in. And the emperor realized, I can make a country out of this. There's a whole lot of people now flocking to me because... he's a big, powerful dragon, and dragons in Warhammer can usually at least take on one greater demon.
Hmm.
So, and he's a very powerful one. So they he starts flocking together, and eventually, we start getting Cathay proper. It starts forming around him. They start basing their culture on what he teaches them, and eventually his children and wife. And you get the initial Grand Nation of Cathay. And, so now Fantasy China does exist. It's most of the culture is based on what they were taught by the dragons, be it the Dragon Emperor, his sons and daughters, his children, what have you. And they start growing and growing. Eventually, of course, as China was in real life, becoming the largest nation in the in the Warhammer world, at least of humans. China, for those of you who don't know, has a lot of people in it. Cathay has a lot of people in it.
Yeah, and to be fair, I think China was the first civilization to like propagate reading and like writing. So like very, very on the forefront of learning, knowledge, fireworks, gunpowder. Like they were ahead of their game for a long time.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if they were the first, but they were, because I a lot of different writing's just a handy skill. Like a lot of different people kind of separately discovered writing, but they were one of the first. Like,
yeah, I think I don't think it was so much they were the first to start writing. It was more that they made a concerted effort to teach like the populace, hey, you should learn to read and write because it's kind of good for the economy and, you know, counting grain and all this stuff. Like, you should like know how to like take notes because that's good for the civilization. Like, oh, meanwhile, Britain, we're all just there going, just like doing nothing apart from just throwing rocks at each other. But, you know, different era, different time.
everyone has their ups and downs. And when real world China's up was kind of like 2000 years straight. But ignoring real world history for a moment, this was all happening, for reference, thousands of years before Sigmar. And in fact, even before the Tomb Kings were the Tomb Kings, they were not undead yet. So Grand Cathay is a very old civilization. Naturally, yeah, they fought against chaos, kept everything safe. In order to keep them safe, because the marauders that they faced came from the north, the Dragon Emperor constructed a great bastion of Cathay. What could that be? What do you think that could be?
Hold on a second. Were any structures that we might describe as a wall erected around this bastion?
Indeed, you could, in fact, just describe the whole bastion as a wall.
Okay. Although I see what you did there, Games Workshop. Very clever.
Although
Total War people.
true to Warhammer fashion, right? The Great Wall of China in real life isn't actually one contiguous wall. It's like a linked series of watchtowers, forts, a lot of walls, of course, like we've seen the pictures. A lot of walls. But it's not one huge line across all of China. The Great Bastion, I'll send you a picture, Andy. It's a very big wall.
Wow. That is a big wall.
Yeah. And
lots of floating rocks as well. What's going on there?
That is something that just kind of happens in Cathay.
Oh, okay. What's that about? Don't worry about it. It just happens.
My best guess has always been that the Dragon Emperor is so powerful with what he was doing that sometimes some magic stuck around and made some rocks float. Failing that, someone at Creative Assembly really loved Kung Fu Panda 3.
Oh, great movie. Which, all the Kung Fu Pandas are great.
They were all good. I didn't see the latest one. But
yeah, I haven't seen that.
I've heard it's not as good, but like I don't know if it's bad because it's bad, or if it's bad because it's a 7 out of a 10 after some, you know, bangers, right?
Yeah, it's like that whole thing of, I even saw a video recently, it's just like this perfect trilogy, and it's just like the original Star Wars, Lord of the Rings, and then it's Kung Fu Panda, and I'm like, he's not wrong.
But so this wall, real good at keeping chaos out. And sometimes something breaks through, but not really even often. Usually that's really just Total Warhammer, if you'd like to take that as loosely canon. For the most part, Hung Marauders try and break through, and then they get shot. Big wall. You're not getting through.
How long did it take them to figure out, like, we should probably stop trying to get through this wall?
Well,
after 5 attempts.
They're Chaos Raiders, so they didn't really get that down. They kind of just kept going. Yeah. It was... Everyone thought they were that one guy to break through the wall. And as it turns out, it was not actually... We'll get to the end times eventually, because that's not really been changed. I would quite like to see it a little bit more fleshed out, if only to know what the dragons were doing. But it wasn't actually really Chaos proper that did Cathay in.
Typical. Yeah. I just kind of like the idea, to be honest, of the ogres watching the Chaos hordes charging them all, like, they're doing it again. They're just there having a snack, watching, like, this will be funny. Yeah.
Well, that actually, that brings me to, I guess, the next point. When we talked about the ogres, I did mention it, so we'll mention it a bit more briefly here. But the ogres during this time eventually, you know, were eating the giants, eating their home out of house and home, and eventually kind of wandered into the lands of Cathay. And they found out that people taste pretty good, too. So the Dragon Emperor, in his relatively, you know, to the setting, limitless power and wisdom, just chucked a big rock onto their homeland and wiped out, like, two-thirds of them. Which, on the Cathayan side of things, it's a much less influential affair, because most of the ogres just kind of went away after. Not all of them. Ogres are everywhere. But at the time, it was like, well, I dealt with the problem.
Yeah, to the ogres, it was like, this is a cataclysmic event for our culture. For the Dragon Emperor, yeah, it was a Tuesday. Like,
yeah, yeah, makes sense. For the day Big D visited your town, it was the most
he
important
day. He went swinging his Big D, and he was like, yeah, this is how little I care.
Yeah. So for a while, Cathay was pretty, there's still, like I said, not too much about it. But it did develop, like I said, to resemble China, and of course under the guidance of the dragons. Over this time, Big D would have his 9 kids. There's no specific, like, date when, like, this kid came here, this kid there, that kid there. But there are very much oldest and youngest ones, and they would lead the time being revered. Which instantly, you know, a little bit about the culture. I don't remember where I read it, but it was a great way to put it, which is that Cathay kind of turned into what the Imperium would be if Horus didn't heresy all over the place.
Oh,
and
that's nice.
Big E was able to gaslight everyone into really thinking he's not a god.
Although, before we go any further, am I right in thinking, though, that the Dragon Emperor might be the oldest character in the set, or one of the oldest characters, or at this time the oldest active character in the setting, because he's pretty old ones.
He probably is. The only thing that would make it, like, not him is if some of the Slaan were made by the old ones before they showed up on the planet. And even then, it wouldn't be an answerable question. It would be like either some of the early Slaan were older, or the Dragon Emperor is still older. Like, it's,
yeah,
he's either the oldest, or he's only not the oldest because you can't prove he is.
Either way, he's got main character syndrome. He's like, I'm in charge because I was here first. And it's like, yeah, fair enough.
Yeah. And again, it's hard to talk down to him, because if you do it, he's still a dragon. Like, you got dragon. Mm. So anything that tries to bother him usually just kind of dies.
Yeah.
Although he doesn't make himself known very often. Because at one point, he started planning, much like the guy in space. And, it was a plan to get rid of these annoying chaos things once and for all.
How'd that go?
Well, the end times happened, so whatever the plan was, clearly didn't work.
Bucka.
But, you know, we'll get to it later. He did at least tell one of his kids about some of it. So he does have that going for him. With that, though, a little bit about Imperium if Big E didn't get stuck on a chair forever. So they don't really usually worship gods in Cathay, right? They're not about that. But they revere the Dragon Emperor as the ultimate being of whom all should aspire to, even if they know they can never be on his level. They revere his 9 children as, again, not quite Big E, but still basically gods walking around. Granted, and you know, sure enough, as a poor Carcassy found out in Horus Rising, if you say bad things about his about Big D and the sons of and his children and all of that, they're probably going to beat you in the town square for saying bad things about the not God Dragon Emperor. So it's they worship them as gods, but they don't like gods. You know, it's very much Great Crusade era Imperium stuff. Where, like, let's be real, even ignoring, you know, Euphrates Keeler had her little shrine. They didn't call Big E a god. You don't have that level of reverence for people you look up to normally.
And to be fair to both factions, you can also point directly to them and be like, that thing over there that's like shooting fire out of their fingertips or like is a billion foot tall and is seemingly immortal. It's kind of like a god, dude. I'm just saying, and he's right there.
Like, I'm looking at him.
I'm looking at him.
Especially because, like, the Dragon Emperor, he is... It's easier to, like, say object he's not a god because he was a dragon hanging around. But other dragons in Warhammer can't just magically summon up a giant, like, mile-thick wall across a nation. So you gotta wonder...
And he was also around practically from their perspective since the dawn of time. And you're like,
yeah, as far as they're concerned, he's been here forever. Although there's a fun line from one of the children. We'll get to them. Yuan Bo, who says, of course we look down on gods. They're base and destructive. And humanity clearly wants to be ruled. Why else would they conjure up these gods to rule them? Which leads into the next bit about Cathayan culture. Very orderly, very much about, you know, yin-yang, harmony and all that stuff, to the point that it's a game mechanic in a Total War. Everything needs to be in place, you know, all the feng shui needs to align and everything like that. It was more so in old lore. I haven't seen it as much, but there was the elements, right? You know, what a wind, fire, water, and wood being, okay. You know. Depending on like some old ways to look at the elements. Wood is an element. Everything needs to line up nice. Everything needs to be harmonious and all of that, you know? It's a very orderly nation.
This infantry division sparks joy.
This one is not pulling their weight. This one is very much not sparking joy.
Exactly.
Over this time, he would also have some kids, and at one point, get married to the Moon Empress. Moon Empress is not just a fancy name, because she's a shapeshifter from the moon, the last of her race. Where did that come from? Where did they go? I don't know. I imagine how a lot of early Warhammer was, like the Horus Heresy before it was developed, where a line just gets thrown out and it's like, what do you mean by what?
It's the Clone Wars effect, where original Star Wars movie, Ben Kenobi's like, the Clone Wars.
On the Clone Wars.
Like, oh, it's a big thing now. What does that mean? I guess we'll make a whole movie and spin-offs just about that.
Yeah.
Cool. All right.
Still waiting on some stuff for that. But yeah, she was a shape-shifting being from the moon. What exactly that entails, don't quite know, but she's the Dragon Emperor found her pretty harmonious, I guess, and they made Bappy.
The Emperor just went, that wizardess came from the moon, and he was smitten.
He's like, I'm interested. They got to doing, and from that, 9 kids. Although, a little bit of history still left to go, because there are still more comparisons to be made. They ruled directly over Cathay. Not, you know, obviously not the only people. There's also, of course, the army of bureaucrats below them. But they were still the direct rulers of Cathay from, in the imperial calendar, -1800 IC to 1999 IC. A nice, clean 4,000-year ruling, which was mostly okay. It was mostly solid, even with Big D leading them. There's ups and downs, But every now and again, you know, things would get bad, things get better. Yeah, you know, standard nation stuff. No nations at the top of the game all the time, right?
Hmm.
Eventually, 1999, Big D and Big E leave to go work on that project a little bit more hands-on. They entrust Cathay, well, kind of more softly entrust, because from my understanding of what happened, they just kind of up sticks and left one day, like Sigmar did. It was just like, and we're gone. Good luck, everyone.
They were just a bit worried about Y2K. They're like, all the blocks are going to reset. We got to get out of here quickly.
But, it's got like the soft, you know, like Big E entrusting Horus and the Primarchs to take care of things.
Mm.
Although a little bit less solid, I guess. Because, again, it does appear to me like they just kind of left. With that, again, you know, the children are leading. It's up to them. You know, they're going to do what they're going to do. And they don't do so good. To the point that for the next few hundred years, kind of kind of during and then a little bit after, while the Empire is going through the Age of Three Emperors, Cathay goes through what is known as the Time of Darkness and Disharmony. Which was mini Horus heresy.
Oh, okay.
None of his kids felt... Well, okay, we'll get to that again. None of the kids in charge of Cathay fell to chaos. They're all still hanging around. They've still got the sibling rivalry thing that gets a little bit more violent than it usually does. They got that down pat still.
Hmm.
So in Big D's absence, they declare, I should be in charge. No, I should be in charge. I want to be in charge. So Cathay kind of starts infighting massively. It's vastly destructive. The only reason they're not overtaken by chaos is, again, you know, big wall. And whenever chaos shows up, they just like, all right, pause for a moment, everyone. We need to deal with this. They shoot the chaos invaders. And they're like, okay, back to killing each other.
Hmm.
I imagine if you've ever seen like the half memes, because they're kind of just screenshots of historical records where it's like minor skirmish on the Chinese border, 30 million dead. I imagine that's kind of what was going on. Cause again, it is fantasy China. It has a very large amount of people in it.
Mm.
It eventually got to the point that, Andy, have you ever, you know, Journey to the West? Vaguely.
I know of it in like I've heard of it since, but not much.
Do you know who? Do you know Sun Wukong at least as a vague figure?
Slightly. Again, not by any stretch where I could be confident saying much about it.
Well, do you know who Goku is?
Because
if you do, congratulations. You know Sun Wukong. Sun Wukong Goku, who I don't believe he has a name in Warhammer, but he's the Monkey King, so it's Sun Wukong. Eventually, at this point, he just takes the throne of Cathay because they were so disunited and not working with each other that the Monkey Man just kind of wandered up and took control. And it was really not great. It kept getting divided like more and more. There was a separated. Cathay was really not looking good. This was, I think, like closest thing to real China, because there was always parallels in Warhammer Fantasy, be like the Three Kingdoms period.
Oh yeah, I love Dynasty Warriors myself.
Yeah,
it's a great game. How many times are we going to make this game? How about 50? Nice, we'll do it
until people stop buying it, and no one stopped buying it. So
nope.
And the Monkey King, for reasons that I will admit are beyond my comprehension, installs a Skaven to be his chief advisor and starts trade with the Skaven.
What?
No, don't ask. Don't ask. Oh, I don't know why he did that.
Okay.
And eventually, a couple, like, at least 100 years after that, there's about 100 years where Cathay is ruled by the Monkey Man. Big D and, you know, his wife, the Dragon Empress Shobek, or Moon, they're like, what the hell are you all doing? What is this?
We've just been on a lovely honeymoon, a late honeymoon, because we had to get the babies done first, and we come back, and you've left the house in an absolute tip. What is going on? Why are there fires everywhere? Who have you killed? Where so-and-so is supposed to be here? There's a big pile of bodies over there. What's going on?
Okay, I know he was just like a mortal dude, but I quite liked him, and now he's dead. He kind of sorts things back together. And that around gets to the point where modern Warhammer fantasy begins. There is around this time, which are presumably existing to give us rebel enemies to fight. Here's another just exact term from Chinese history. Eventually, some people did rebel against the Dragon Emperor, against the Mandate of Heaven, which is, again, just Chinese history. And we get to about modern Warhammer fantasy. Although it is occurring to me as I look through the notes, I did skip one thing. They traded a lot with the Tomb Kings a bit. They gave the Tomb Kings firearms, which is in one telling of the story. Because fun fact, Andy, the origin of the vampires is possibly the most retcon story in all of Warhammer, period. Because Vlad's had about 50 different names and might have gone to Cathay. We don't know, because GW flip-flopped they flip-flopped during the same edition sometimes.
I'm getting Emperor flashbacks again with that in mind. Like, oh, he was all these people doing history.
It's great. But they did trade with the Priest Kings, as they were known at the time, even gave them guns. And in exchange, Neferata gave some of them vampirism, and they went back to Cathay, which was never much expounded upon, even in newer lore, although there is a minor vampire faction in Cathay you fight as Total Warhammer. And Vlad might have been an advisor to the Dragon Emperor for a bit. Vladdy Daddy Von Karstarn.
To be honest, I'm just imagining the Dragon Emperor with his supernatural like smell. Just the first vampires like walking to say, "Do you guys smell that? What is that? What is that? There's something going on. What's going on?" And then he's just like, "Oh, vampires. Now to deal with this shit. Oh god." But were they like aggressive? I assume they couldn't be aggressive towards Cathay, because it's like, what are you gonna do? It's super duper powerful.
Yeah, this was even an older lore before there was new stuff about like the dragons. Vlad was more just so an advisor, and when they discovered he was a vampire, he did pretty quickly hightail it out of there.
Yeah,
but he, again, direct advisor to the Dragon Emperor, so He definitely found a pretty high station for a little bit. Then he turned into a pirate, but this isn't about Vlad. We don't need to worry about that right now.
Good old Vladdy Dad. Vladdy Daddy meeting another daddy.
Yeah. With that, though, a lot of the other history we can kind of talk about as we go through the dragons. So, like I said, dragon children, all born naturally. Sons, child, you know, Dragon Emperor and Moon Empress, and much like the Primarchs, more or less demigod childrens of the Dragon Emperor who rule Cathay, both directly, indirectly, depends on the role, and when he's not around, they're his voice. When he is around, they help him with what he needs. So, let's go through them. Where is the first one? Where have you gone? Notes. Right. We'll get through, because two of them are just totally unknown. We'll go through them first. One of them is nothing. I'm just going to level with you. One of them is completely, it starts and ends with, we don't know about them.
Oh, they had their own lost Primarch. I see.
Fair indeed.
although, two is too many. We'll have one.
You know, half as many kids, you only get one lost Primarch.
Yeah.
Another one is mostly unknown. However, there was a, you know how like dragons in China tend, they don't really, they're like more serpentine. They don't have like the arms and legs. They're just kind of like big snakes in a way.
Yeah.
That is largely what the Cathayan dragons look like when they're in dragon form. With that being said, though we don't know either of the unnamed dragons, Archaon, in his quest to become the Ever-Chosen of Chaos, slaughtered a Chaos Dragon who was described as being serpentine in nature, and the name of it was Yen-Ya Long. So, I'm thinking one of those Cathayan dragons, one of the two missing ones, Might have got lost in the chaos sauce and got butchered by Archaon.
Ooh. It's another feather in his bow of, like, people saying, oh, he's cooler than Abaddon because he gets more done. It's like, if he killed a whole ass dragon, that's pretty impressive.
It was a semi-divine whatever's going on there, dragon.
Hmm.
That's not confirmed. It's just the only thing really we have to go off of is that it was a serpentine dragon as opposed to normally, and it had an Asian sounding name. So
it could maybe
could be
connections there. I mean, where else is it gonna come from in Warhammer Fantasy? Like Britonia? Doubt it.
Probably not. With that, we come to the actually known siblings. So, first one, Shenzhou, Fantasy Vulcan. She's described as the bringer of light and hope. All of her siblings. She? Yeah.
Female
Big,
fantasy.
Big D has daughters, too. Again, it was biological. There was no genetic stuff going on. Indeed. Bringer of light and hope, she's all about bringing harmony and everything to her. To the point that in Total War, if you do bother to some reason still play the more narrative campaign, which, by the way, as a side note, don't do that. Just play Immortal Empires. You are looking for her. That is the whole point. They want her back really bad so that the whole country can be at peace again. Because without her, feng shui's off. This is a problem, because one day, she seems to have just walked into Norska and vanished.
Oh,
don't know where she went. They really want her. They still have rough hope that she's alive, but like the MacGuffin god of the Total War campaign, the bear god of Kislev Ursin, says he witnessed her fate, which is pointedly not him saying he knew where she was. He witnessed her fate.
Mm.
So,
as long as they don't have to get the artifacts of Shisu and just be like, right, we've got to go find her. We've got to get these specific items left behind by, the dragon lady, and then we'll find her and it'll be good. Like, they don't have anything to go off, I'm assuming. They're just like, oh, we'll just find her eventually.
So, yeah. So there's a... there's three possibilities I have in my head for what happened to her. Because, you know, she was the nice one who kept everyone, you know, stable and happy as a family. She had to go, naturally. We need the war game to be a war game. Get the hell out, lady.
Mm.
And then, so, yeah, three options. One, she's dead. Two, she's still missing, and they're saving her for a DLC for Total War. Or three, because the dragon Archaon ripped off had three heads, there was some weird chaos human centipede, dragon centipede stuff going on.
Oh, no. Oh, no. With siblings, no less. That's even worse.
Yeah, yeah. So, again, not at all confirmed. I'm just trying to give some options as to where did she wander off to. Again, most likely is probably you walked into Norska, lady. There's a lot of scary things up there. And
did you bring your winter gear?
Yeah. Depending on when you did that, that includes Archaon. So good luck.
Not good.
The next one is Shiyama. She is confirmed dead.
Aw.
She was the firstborn child of the Emperor and Empress. And she was slain before any of the others were born. So they only know so much about her. She does still kind of quietly help, because I think it's kind of like you get powerful enough and death isn't quite as important, because she's apparently sleeping underneath it's called the Dragon River. Not the most creative of names, but it is fitting. I will give it that. There's a dragon under it.
She's doing the dragon sleep under the Dragon Lake in Dragonmire.
Yeah.
Beneath Dragon Mountain.
She's got an order of monks dedicated to her, warrior monks, and she helps guide the dead Cathayans to the underworld. So she's dead, but she's still helping out, and I'm sure the god of the dead more appreciates the help. He's pretty overworked.
Hmm. Is there any risk that she could run into Nagash, or is that like...
Throughout most of the lore, probably not, because when Nagash was defeated, he... it depends on which lore you go with. He was either so weakened by the Fellblade he couldn't do much in death, or every time he died, all of the souls of the people he killed would gang up on him, beat the snot out of him. So during that time, probably not. When the end times come around again, there was a... The end times for Cathay has still not been elaborated on too much. There's a non-zero chance that she got eaten by Nagash, much like the God of the Dead.
Because that's the thing, is like whenever you mention death in Warhammer Fantasy, I think of Pope What's-His-Face himself, just like, I love death, that's my thing. Like,
yeah.
He's probably involved somehow.
Usually is, if you go back far enough. No direct mention of him that I found, so... but I'm assuming...
Good for her, I guess.
I'm assuming in the end time, since Nagash took control of the entire Wind of Death and then ate the God of the Dead, probably not looking good for her. I'm just gonna say it. You know, it was probably
damage.
Yeah. It was. She's probably not doing so hot right now.
Yeah.
But with her, we now finally get one who's actually around and doing things. Miao Ying.
Hey.
She's the oldest now that Shiyama's dead. Which
is she the one in the trailer? Because I remember there's a trailer where there's a lady. She jumps and she turns into the dragon. Like, oh, that's cool.
That's her. She's as the oldest, she is the strongest remaining, although there's an asterisk on that we need to get to. She might not be, because there is a short story. There is actually a fun short story about Cathay.
Huh.
Where one of the other ones throws his weight around a bit. But again, we'll get to that. She is, at least in her own words, the strongest. She's daddy's favorite. She's a daddy's girl. And her charge is the northern provinces of Cathay. Cathay is divided, you know, in northeast, southwest, central. Again, very, I don't know, China. And if you'd like me to be mean, I can't help if wonder if she's daddy's favorite, because the first daughter and firstborn died and Big D wanted a replacement. But that is just some Freudian analysis from someone who's taken one psych class in his life. So feel free to make of that family situation what you will. She doesn't hate her dad, so she's at least got that above, you know, like Horace or something. She is, and you know, to give her some credit again, she's still a dragon, one of the dragon siblings, which, since I realize I haven't talked about it much, the dragons of Cathay can take on a human form at will when they want to, you know, when they want to make friends and look nice. But, they can cast magic a bit better when they're a human, but sometimes, and you know, it helps them blend in. They're still very clearly not human. You know, if you look close, at least they got some funky eyes, like glowing bright white or whatever color. But it blends them in. But then when it's time to throw down, like you saw in the trailer, they jump off a wall and turn into a dragon.
Yeah. I'm just wondering what's the mechanics of, you know, whenever you get a character that transforms from a humanoid thing to a beast or whatever, it's like, what happens to the clothes? Are they like just magic clothes that just like, I can turn back and forth and back and forth and I'm just wearing the stuff? Or is it part of their skin, or is it like, what's going on there? That's very strange. It's kind of like that joke of like, what happens to the Hulk when he goes Hulk?
Yeah.
Okay, and then he gets really big and his trousers never shred. Like, how? How does that work?
Yeah. don't know if that was answered. I'm going to go magic clothes, because they're all wizards, but whatever you'd like to assume.
The finest magic tailor in all the lands.
Yeah. So she is in charge of the Great Bastion's defense. She's got a very stressful job. You know, it's constantly under siege, basically. It wavers back and forth between what strength of, you know, Chaos Invaders are showing up. But it's chaos to the north. Chaos Raiders always want to prove they're worthy of becoming a warrior proper and then a demon prince. So, you know, it's a very violent theater of war, and she commands
and
millions.
Chaos is the only game in town. Everyone else has sense not to invade.
Yeah, everyone else has the sense not to invade, or it is just too far away to do it. So it's kind of just a lot of demons, particularly demons of Tzeentch, because Tzeentch has a strong presence in Cathay. They call him Qian Qi.
Oh, okay.
In some places, he's actually officially worshipped. They usually, the dragons don't really like that, so they squash it when they can, but doesn't stop people. Well, never stop people in the other Warhammer places from worshipping a chaos god, so.
Yeah, just them just going, those are my worshippers. Go away, piss off, they're mine. I need their worship more than you do, go away.
Yeah, she's Miao Ying, though, she's very haughty and aloof. She is not a joyful person. You probably would not want to be stuck in like a car ride with her. It would not be. It would be very awkward the whole way through.
Yeah, lots of excuse me, princess, all that kind of stuff. That
Which,
vibe.
You know, again, I will be kind of nice to her, given her job. You know, if she fails once, then it's time for chaos marauders to pour into the country. That would probably make me a pretty stressed out, not very happy person too. You know, it's. Comes with the job, right? She's in charge of that. She's not got the best relations with her siblings because she's happy to let you know she's daddy's favorite. But she's got the power to back it up. And if nothing else, it took until the end times for Cathay to fall and, you know, get really invaded by chaos, right? So if nothing else, she does her job well. You can give her that much. If you want to be generous, slay girl boss, you know what you're about. If you don't want to be generous, please yes, shut queen. The fuck up and just go back to defending the wall, you arrogant piece of shit. next one, and a couple of the first three are going to be legendary lords, by the way, in Total Warhammer. So if you own that game, you can play as three of them. Zhao Ming, he is in charge of the western provinces of Cathay. And for a variety of reasons, both to his own inclinations, his own personality, and the region he rules, because it's the region where the Silk Road goes through, he's the one who interacts with normal people the most. So he's an interesting guy. He's my second favorite. The next one's my favorite, but he's a close second.
Okay.
He's very down to earth, like where the other ones are very much like. Very open about the fact they're above and beyond the average person. If you need to find Zhao Ming, 50-50 shot, if it's not an active combat zone, you could find him at a bar. Just drinking, having fun with his troops. Little bit of Lehman Russin, a little bit of that just kind of sprinkled in there, where he likes his drink, he likes hanging out, he likes sleeping around, because the dragon children, they have children with mortal human beings.
I was just going to say, very Tyrion Lannister energy from this guy, from what I can tell.
Yeah, which as a little side note, makes they're called dragon-blooded Shugangans. They can't turn into dragons, but they're still stronger than you.
Oh, okay. Got that secret sauce in their bloodline.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, there's a little bit of dragon in there, so they can cast some magic naturally and probably rip you in half.
Ooh.
So most of them come from him. Let's put it that way.
Are you one of mine? Ah, of course you are. Good lad.
And then you go have a drink with dad, and then it's a good time.
You tell your stories to dad, and he goes, oh, everyone knows I'm the favorite. You know, my sister. Oh, look at me. I'm the best. My daddy's girl. But actually, everyone loves me.
Yeah.
Because I'm a drinking buddy.
And he's actually just such a cheerful and, like, friendly guy that it extends to not only non-dragons, but non-Cathayans and non-humans as well. Do you remember Grease's Goldtooth?
The Grease's guy?
Yep. It was them talking to each other and relating over dad problems that the some more proper, like, actual tolling and trade routes were set up through the ogre's lands instead of just arming a caravan to the teeth and hoping the ogres don't eat it. They're actually seem to be pals. They made a joke that I'm glad we can bond over our issues with our fathers, although I don't think I could eat mine. He's a bit too big.
Then the Greasers went, not with that attitude. Go have it.
And if you follow both the Total Warhammer Immortal Empires trailer and meme canon, him and Gelt are best friends, which actually can be an event in Total Warhammer. You can get a bonus to relation with him if you're playing as Gelt.
Oh, that's nice.
Yep, they're both lore of metal wizards. Zhao's a dragon, ruler of an empire. Gelt is supreme. They're bros. They're real bros. Now, you might be wondering, when's the other shoe going to drop? And it drops in the form that he's amongst his siblings. They consider these habits of his very eccentric, right? Because, you know, they're the ruling dragons. They're supposed to be, have a little bit more class, right? Don't just spend your time drinking and having sex with the first person to walk near you.
Yeah, stop waking up in hay bales in like the barn next door to the pub with like the girl from the tavern and going, where am I? What happened? That's very uncouth. You're a royal bloodline fella. Be more kingly.
Yeah. So they consider him eccentric for that. The other eccentricity comes from that he's really big into alchemy, which by itself, you know, fine. Nothing wrong with that. It's alchemy and it's a fantasy setting, so it's a pretty productive thing to pursue. The problem is, Andy, I'm going to send you another image. Do you see that gem on his hat?
Let's have a look. Yes.
It was in an interview with one of the Creative Assembly guys who was kind of heading the, you know, redesign of Cathay and everything. Someone asked, hey, is that jade or is that a warp stone? And the guy did not answer the question. There's occasional voice lines where he mentions he hears some voices.
Oh, no.
And even if that on his head isn't warpstone, warpstone is one of the chief ingredients he messes with. And much of Western Cathay is known as the Warpstone Desert.
Oh.
So he's not in a great environment for his sanity. He's not using great materials for his sanity. It's not great.
He's full of warpstone the way we are full of microplastics. That's how it is.
That's what he is. And you know, I'm just gonna say it. I think I'll take the microplastics compared to the that. It's led to him being like one of the more isolated of the siblings. Not even because like they dislike him because he's an asshole. It's equal parts, you know, a little bit of classism, and equal parts, you have warpstone on your head. You are not well. The next one we're going to talk about in particular doesn't like him because Zhao is doing things that were not sanctioned by the Dragon Emperor, and he's not a fan of that.
Nope.
Although, again, for what it's worth, Volkmar the Grim, who's just a dude, the Pope of the Cult of Sigmar, has a warpstone eagle bolted to his chest. Never once showed signs of chaos corruption. Not even like a hint that there's like he hears voices when no one's looking or he's secretly doing rich. He's just built different.
He just looks at him and goes, skill issue. Ugh.
Yeah, so probably fine. Makes him a little bit insane, but you know, again, hey, Luthor Harkon hears voices all the time. He's the greatest admiral to ever exist. So hey, maybe a little bit of crazy helps you out.
Yeah. It gives you a bit of individuality, makes you a little bit different, that's all. It's fine, it's fine. It's like a little bit of spice.
He's also a mama's boy to Zhao Ming's daddy's girl. He's the Moon Empress favorite. Her support is part of the reason he doesn't really face any consequences for rampant warpstone usage. I did have some comparisons. I had these wrote down and I forgot to really go through the Primarchs. He's kind of like, I couldn't really give him a closest one. He's got like little Lehman Russ's like drinking party attitude, but I think he's also, like, as a whole, closer to Magnus, because he's doing some experimentation with stuff that he probably shouldn't be. Except, yeah, unlike Magnus, multiple people have told him, hey, man, Warpstone's bad. Don't do that.
Mm. He hasn't broken his dad's, like, biggest, bestest, like, throne. I'm sure he hasn't blown done that. Up.
He hasn't shown up and, like, annihilated the project Big D was working on.
Mm.
But it's still like, what are you doing there, bud? What's going on?
Why is this part of the city on fire? Come on, tell me. You can tell me. Come on. I won't be that mad. Calm down.
And we get to the next one now, and he's easily my favorite. Yuan Bo. He rules the central provinces, and he's the administrator of the realm. As you can guess from that, one of the biggest, his closest equivalent, he's Gilliman, right? He's the administrator. He's the bureaucrat. And the central provinces, he rules them. He's kept them pretty safe. Like, you know, you can probably find Beastmen there, but I'm not going to hold that against him. If there's more than one tree per 10 square miles, there's Beastmen. That's just how Warhammer Fantasy works.
Mm.
But in the lore, at least, pretty safe place. And as far as most people know, he is just that. He's Chinese Gilliman. He's an amazing bureaucrat. He does what he does very well. He's kept the country running smoothly for thousands of years. He's a pretty trustworthy, reliable guy. Doesn't make too many waves, and for that reason, he's like the least disliked out of the rest of the siblings. Aside from maybe one we'll get to, I like to make fun of her because she's a boy. She's a character.
She's a piece of work.
Yeah, but she's like, well, oh no. Aside from that Shenzhou lady we were talking about earlier. She's gone, though, and probably isn't coming back. So since that, he takes her place as the most likable one. And again, as far as most people know, that is kind of just what he is. He's an administrator. He does what he does. Still a dragon children. So, you know, logically, the average Cathayan, he can kick ass. But he spends most of his time in human form. He's a pretty, not Zhao Ming levels of find him at the bar celebrating with the troops after the last battle. But he's a pretty cordial guy. Talks to mortals without too much of looking down at him, works with them frequently. He's the administrator, all that stuff. He's very, very, you know, easygoing, all things considered. Again, keeps telling Zhao Ming, please turn down the Linkin Park and stop using Warpstone, which is handily ignored. But I don't think there's any real enmity there, at least on Zhao Ming's part. Yuan Bo is probably not very happy.
He just sounds very reliable, like, I'll get the job done, you can count on me, I'll meet the lads for one drink after the work shift, just be like, just so I'm there, I'll listen to their problems, and yeah, seems like a good guy.
And you should only half believe that reputation.
Oh.
Because he has a reputation as the one of, if not the weakest of the dragon siblings, which he plays up and helps spread. Because the other Primarch he takes after is Leman Russ, because one of his other title is none other than the Emperor's Executioner. As the bureaucrat, he has all the paperwork. He knows where everyone is. He knows when things aren't going as they should be. So when he pays a visit, you better have a good explanation for why things aren't going together very well.
He's quite literally judge, jury, and executioner. Very good.
He is. He is the Punisher. that is, if you've not played Marvel Rivals, when Punisher uses his ult, that's verbatim what he yells. I know that's obviously something before the Punisher, but you hear judge, jury, executioner, and then bullets start flying. He doesn't use, Yuan Bo doesn't use guns, but it's usually going to have the same result of, where'd my head go?
And then he starts screaming, just like, you know what? I loved it. I loved it. And going mental, like in that courtroom scene in The Punisher.
And
I killed all those people. It was great. I'll do it again. Like, Bo, chill out.
He's also, because he doesn't have enough responsibilities, this poor, overworked Gilliam and Leman Russ equivalent, we're also throwing in Corvus Corax, because he's also the Emperor's spy master.
Right.
He helps, this is more of the Moon Empress's thing, because he gifted her what are known as Onyx Crowmen, which are giant bird people that can turn into normal crows, I believe, to go around and spy on the realm. And between that, he has your taxes, so he's got all your paperwork. He has the crows to spy on you at any moment, and they can talk to him just fine. And he's very powerful. So if there's like anything in Cathay that isn't like either can't be taken on with an army or an army's not the best solution, you're probably getting a visit from either scary bird people or the scarier dragon person.
Yeah, you're going to be visited by the Cathay equivalent of the FBI, IRS, CIA, all the acronyms at your doorstep.
Yeah, he's not going to be happy. he does his job well. Let's just say that. He's also, though he's not the favorite of the dragon siblings, he is the one trusted with the most knowledge of his father's plan. The full thing, at least to us, maybe Yuan Bo knows the full deal. We don't. But a lot of it involves hijacking the lizardman's geomantic web they use to align all the stuff and the magics of the world and stuff. Big D's got an interest in that. So in Total Warhammer, his job is to go to Lustria and get that web aligned to Big D's whims.
Almost like a webway project.
Indeed. It could perhaps be something like that. We don't know, but there are parallels. It could also just, it's a little bit of revenge too, because the lizardmen are the ones whose creators warmed the planet up by shifting the whole thing closer to the sun. Could just be that he could find other ways to get his plan completed, but those lizards killed all my dragon friends, so you know what? I'm taking their shit.
Mm-hmm.
He's a stoic fella, like I said. Soft-spoken, but he'll get the job done. He actually has a short story written about him called The Master of the Meteor Wind, where he deals with the changeling who's pretending to be Miao Ying, his sister. He gives a pretty good showing of it. And if I remember correctly, the reason that he does not, he's tipped off to the fact that it's the changeling, does not have Pinky out when he pours the tea.
Changeling, you should have known.
Yep.
Etiquette. Proper etiquette.
He's the guy who had that quote about mortals seeking to be controlled, for why else would you conjure up the Chaos Gods? Which is, at least admittedly in fantasy, not where the Chaos Gods come from. But can't blame him, I guess, for not knowing the complete and utter truth of the universe and the Chaos Gods. So, not the worst assumption to make. He's not right about where they came from, but in 40K... that opinion would be spot on, because we have birthdays for the Chaos Gods. Just in fantasy, it's not quite as correct.
Yeah.
He's very hard to, like, psych out, right? Like, he's the coolest, most collected guy on the planet. Unless you are the Monkey King. King is the only person who can piss off Yuan Bo reliably. Which means, I don't know if it's like proper Sun Wukong, because in Journey to the West, Sun Wukong is a smarmy little bastard. Or if he's going the other way monkeys might piss you off, and just flinging his poop at him. Never confirmed. Think what you might like.
Everyone's got a line. You don't cross even him.
Yeah. His line might be getting poop thrown at him. So, you know what? I hope he never goes to Stirland. I just had to get that in. Sorry. he's also, for the end, the last little bit about him, in spite of, being, kind of like Gilliman, he does have a little bit of a sense of humor. A little bit of sass in him. At the end of that short story, Miao Ying eventually comes back and she's, all blustery about, like, oh, you entered my lands without my permission. How dare you? And he just says, oh, I'm sure you can forgive me in the same way that I'm sure our father will forgive you for letting your lands go to complete shit while you were gallivanting off doing whatever. And then he goes
she just goes real quiet, and he's like, "Yes, I'm sure a very generous donation to the bureaucracy would smooth things over very well with Dad." And then verbatim, he just turns to look at her, grins, and goes, "After all, you are his favorite."
Ooh, sassy boy, so, sassy boy.
He's got some sass. And though he doesn't make it known often, because he's both spy master, might be propaganda master, and is the bureaucrat master, don't mess with him. Because he's probably going to kill you, and I want a mini of him so bad. If / when Cathay comes out as an army, I goodbye all of my money. With that, there are two more dragon siblings. One of them, both of them are pretty quick to go through.
Okay.
The second to last is Li Dao. He's the fire dragon, commands the southern provinces. Don't know too much about him. We do know he has a temper, which, fitting for the fire dragon, I'd say that lines up right. He constantly has to deal with invasions from the Asian countries we don't get to know about, Ind, Koresh, the Monkey King. And he's pretty jealous of Miao Ying, because he's like, I have to deal with the southern borders, and there's weird chaos snake men, beast men down there, and the damn Monkey King, and Ind, where they have a hunt like 1,000 living gods. I have to deal with that all the time. You just have to deal with the morons and big armor that's spiky. I have to deal with all this, but I don't get any of the credit. He's got a bit of a chip on his shoulder over that one.
Bit of a Perturabo complex, it sounds like. We're like, oh, master of war? Oh, whinging and moaning all the time? Fiery temper?
Yeah. He's not the who fell to chaos, so he's still loyal. He's just grumpy, which I guess is still pretty Perturabo.
Or Dawn, to be fair. Like, Dawn has a temper as well when he's a bit, but at least with him, he's got the support. If you were just building walls and staving off all these things, like, oh, no one gives me any respect.
Probably Dorne and or Perturabo would be the ones for him. And then the last one, Yin Yin. She's the ruler of the eastern provinces and the grand admiral of Cathay's navy. At one point, with how the lore retcons worked, because the Dragon Emperor used to be more of a position, like you were an emperor, then there was just the Dragon Emperor. At one point, when she was leading a fleet, she was mistaken for the Dragon Emperor. Big dragon lady, maybe emperor is just like a ceremonial title, kind of like how Brotherhood of Steel, there's still girls in it. But that was with the retcons and stuff. It was at one point the emperor leading a big old fleet. Now it was her. She, much like, a lot of real Chinese history, the rest of the dragon siblings, they're pretty inward looking. They don't seek to, go out and make a name. They're not about to make a name for themselves. They're worried about internal affairs. Yin Yin, she wants to get out there, show everyone the true might of Grand Cathay. She's about getting out there, expanding, setting new routes up, all that kind of stuff. As the Grand Admiral, her favorite way of doing this was to get big old fleets together and go out and sail and conquer. She's not good at it. The country of Nippon is still independent, so if she's ever looked that way, didn't work. And a couple times, she invaded Lustria. During one of those invasions, I will give her credit. She put together like a massive fleet, like stretching across the horizon, right? Real showing the might of Cathay. Good stuff. A couple of Slan mage priests, the fat frogs that are the most powerful wizards ever, looked out across the horizon, saw the encroaching line, the armada coming through, and decided, I'm not a fan of that. So they drowned the entire thing with a tidal wave. Only Yin Yin and one other dude survived, who got stuck on Cathay and had to make his way, or got stuck in Lustria, had to make his way back home. She's and I believe that's happened like twice.
Well, is it a case of she's actually competent, she's just biting off more than she can chew, or like that's an opponent that like no one's gonna beat, or is it just she's not good at her job because
it's not she's been bad expanded very much upon. She has been described as like a little bit too hot headed, a little bit too throwing yourself into the fray. So again, she is still a dragon sibling, so in the 1v1 she can turn into a dragon and devour you. But at least how I've taken the implication is that a little bit of both. Sure, losing to a Slann isn't like that's understandable. They can just decide there's a mountain range now. Or, funny enough, a tidal wave. Did not seem to come very well prepared for what she knew would probably be a very tough challenge.
And is she the younger sibling? Is that what it is? Like, oh, younger sibling. Oh, I've got to prove myself.
She's one of the younger ones, definitely. I'm not sure if she's just flat out the youngest, but she's definitely one of the youngest.
Hmm.
She's tried conquering Araby. No, she has fought the Dark Elves, which a little bit more successful. The Dark Elves don't raid Cathay as often, so she's at least doing decently defending Cathay. Every time she gets expansionist, though, she wants to get out there and make a name for Cathay. A lot of Cathayans tend to drown. So,
What a shame. You can't expand. You're supposed to be in this one space on the map, like every other faction. There's no expansion allowed. This is total Warhammer. At least unless you're playing the game.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So those are the dragons. And then just a little bit more, we'll wrap up on just a little bit of like what Cathay brings, will hopefully one day bring to the table. So it is, it has some of the finest troops, at least basic troops in the Warhammer world, which is at least in Total Warhammer reflected, because at a level one barracks building, you can already recruit some troops that have like almost dwarf level of armor, hit pretty damn strong. They have a pretty thriving industry, both for, you know, boring non-war stuff. And of course they've, for example, there's the city of Nangao, which is if a forge world was just one city, a lot of smoke, whole lot of industry, war machines pumping out constantly. It's just, I mean, it's called the city of smoke. Never fallen to invaders. It produces endless amounts of like war machines, weapons, armor, mundane stuff. It is very much a militarized state. Not all of it, again, like the central province is pretty peaceful. You're allowed to focus on, Yuan Bo can build the economy since he's got the peaceful place. But it is also still very powerful when it takes the field. It does have some problems, of course. You know, they're definitely, you know, very arrogant. To what extent that's earned, feel free to decide to yourselves. They believe they have the finest of anything in the, like, the finest weapons and armor in the land, which I'm sure the dwarfs would certainly take,
ooh,
take some offense to. But there's minimal, there's fairly minimal interaction with the dwarfs so far between them and Cathay. So, we don't know yet, but I imagine if, you know, one of them told that to a dwarf, we have the finest metal and everything in the arm and whatever, there'd be some grudging.
Mm.
The northernmost provinces are, of course, bordered by the Great Bastion, which is a big wall. You're not getting through. There's a lot of different, like, there's a, in the center of Cathay, that's where a lot of those floating islands are. Some of this is going off, like, the Total Warhammer map. Stuff like that. There's they've got observatories where they train astromancers because it's astromancers are officially sanctioned by the Dragon Emperor. It is he's a big fan of the school of magic, the Wind of the Heavens. Unofficially, there's also a lot of gold alchemists going around because Zhao Ming lets other people under him also get a little bit wacky with the science projects.
Does he have a similar thing with the Emperor where he loves gold? Like,
it's more jade, gold. Because it's, you know, China, so it's not as much gold, but it's still like the same obsession with the green rock.
Yeah. I got the green rock. No, not that one. The other one.
Yeah. There are a lot of cities with like one sentence of lore. For example, there's a city in the home to jade-blooded sorcerers. We're called Wen Chang, saying these. I'm probably going to butcher some of them. My bad. Wei Jin is the capital city that mortals are allowed to enter. Not too much about it. Above that is the Celestial City, which it's in the clouds. It's the home of the dragon siblings. It's just a big old city in the clouds. I imagine the Forbidden City, but it flies. In the west, the place that anyone who isn't Cathayan would most likely go to is called Shangyang, which is where the Silk Road ends, and the Imperials, Tylaeans, Stallions, what country have you? They've all got ambassadors there with Cathay. It also surely draws off a whole lot of wizards and other less sanctioned sorts. It's a little bit of a corrupt place. Not a gulp. Again, Zhao Ming is the guy there. Not political corruption, more of like you. Please take the warp stone away, sir.
Yeah, we'll be right on that. Come here, give me that. Oh, it's jade. Jade. Just put on the docket shipment of jade. There we go.
Yeah,
pleasure doing business with you.
And I guess one more thing. It is like I said, arrogant people. They have an ambassador to the Empire in Altdorf. She does not speak Reichsspiel very well, you know, their language. Not because she can't learn it. She doesn't care to very much.
Oh, yeah. Bit of that Warhammer racism coming in again.
They're very haughty people. And, as for their armies, you've got vast lines of well-equipped infantrymen, and, you know, be they sword and shield or spearmen. Very good crossbows, even if they're not, you know, probably not quite as good as the dwarfs. Better than the Empire, which, you know, kind of fitting, because in the real world, China invented gunpowder. So, sure enough, they've got, like, plenty of different firearms. They've got not quite rifles, I don't think, but they're definitely more accurate than just a volley of muskets. They've got good artillery. They've got flame artillery. Do you know those, like the lanterns that a lot, like, country, like, they release into the air and they're, like, glowing reddish-orange? Yeah. What if they made it 100 times as big and put a gun on it? They have a lot of those. And, of course, you did mention them. They have those terracotta statue guys. One of whom, Satang the Watcher, one of the coolest things I've seen. Look at this man. Look, construct.
Oh, yeah, that's pretty cool. Big bow.
Big bow, big flaming wings. And remember, he's about 50 feet tall and on fire and made out of rock. So if you think archery is all he's got, you're going to get squashed. And that is largely... Oh, my God, while I was looking up an image of him, someone made a almost one-to-one of him on Hero Forge, where you can make your own minis. That's really cool.
Nice.
Sidetrack there. I just saw that. That is cool as hell. That's most of Cathay. Like I said, a lot of it is pretty still fairly light. There's a lot of like one sentence descriptions of like this city is about this, that city is about that. But I really do like what they've done with Cathay. It's like I said before, hopefully when. With the little teaser they did in LVO, with just had a screenshot of some forested mountains that are a 1v1 of a piece of Cathayan artwork, if you zoom into the right spot. Hopefully we'll get an army. Some more lore would also be good, but you know what? Even if it's just minis, I'd be pretty content.
They'd be mad not to, surely. Like, oh, what, a whole brand new army? of something that's already quite well liked in Total Warhammer, with a bunch of people who would be like, one, wanting to have one for ages, and also a bunch of people who just go, oh, this is neat, this is new, I want that. Like, they'd be mad not to make an army of cafe models, because like, there's only a few factions that don't have representation on the tabletop, and cafe's such an oversight. Like just the stone golem things alone, I'm like, I'd buy that. That looks freaking cool. Big bow or a big sword or whatever. That'd be awesome. Just putting it on the table, like, oh, here's my arm, and just like, I brought this, and it's like a Joy Toy style size. Like, that'd be quite funny. Just crushing all your enemies on your enemy team's tabletop game.
Yeah. Especially if they could nail the transformation mechanics. Like, all right, I'm going to kill your decently tough general. He's a dragon now. This got a lot harder.
Ooh. imagine having it. Yeah, like, I guess they would make, like, the humanoid versions of the dragon princes and princesses, I suppose, because they're a bit more... One, you know, easier to produce, easier and to... also because there's, like...
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, easy to produce, and also there's, like, a bit of a chance for the artist to have some, like... flare with their different armor and weapons and stuff. But it'd be cool if they had like one or two that they also were like, here's an ascended version, here's a big spirally swoopy boopy one. Although I'm sure it'd be really easy to hit if it's like, oh, it's this tall, archers, hit it anywhere on the map. Yeah,
fire away. I guess, for, you know, this is a Warhammer Fantasy video, isn't it? Those all end the same way, don't they? So the end times, really quickly, they were like, they were still the end times before Total Warhammer was even out, and well before the third one gave them the glow up. So the end times come, and the Chaos Dwarfs en masse assault the Great Bastion and turn it into a fortress. They take it. Resistance at first fails, because there's a whole lot of Tzeentch worshippers in the court of the Dragon Emperor. But eventually, Big D comes down, whips the forces into shape, and then starts pushing back against the Chaos Dwarfs. Then the Skaven start assassinating all their officials, which slows things down again. But it's still Big D. He leads his troops into the Skaven like warrens in the Under Empire of Cathay, and clears Cathay of Skaven, which he does good.
Oh, wow. Nice.
He keeps pushing back. Chaos can't get to his capital. Just unable to, like, that. Even with the Chaos Dwarfs, their war engines, and the millions of marauders, can't get through. Dragon Emperor's holding the line. And it's almost looking like Cathay's kind of cooking. This is pretty good. And then Grimgor Ironhide, with every orc ever, because they're all in one army now, and every ogre ever, because he took all of those with him too, show up, destroy the Great Bastion, who, in fact, after they took it over the first time, they let the Chaos Dwarfs refortify it for a good fight, and then they burned it down again. Doesn't stop, clears out the rest of Cathay. The Dragon Emperor leads whoever's left in a big fleet that carries them off to who knows where. And then the world blew up. There is a brief moment.
So they lost everything.
Yep. So, you know, bright side. At the end of the day, Chaos still didn't win in the East. It was Gork and Mork.
Small relation to the Cathayans who are all dead, but it's like, at least we didn't die to Chaos. That would have been embarrassing.
Your souls aren't getting Chaos corrupted. You just got murdered by Grimgor Ironhide. There's a, like I said, it was like almost 10 years after the end times, most of the Cathayan lore came out. The new stuff, anyway, don't really know what happened to the dragon siblings. A couple guesses. Yuan Bo, when he was dicking around with the Warpstone, probably blew up when magic started running rampant. I'm assuming Yin Yin just drowned somewhere. she did actually. She's so arrogant that she thinks High Elf dragon ships are named after her.
Oh, no.
They're not. They're named after their dragons. Which,
You want my best guess for her? She sailed to Ulthuan to show those damn prissy elves who's boss. And then Tyrion and Malekith started duking it out, and she got caught in the crossfire. That's what I'd like to assume happened to her in the end times. Miao Ying, pick your flavor. Did she get killed by Chaos Dwarfs when they showed up, or did she get Grimgored? Both are equally valid and gruesome. Shiyama probably got Nagashed. They haven't shown up in Age of Sigmar, so I'm going to make some assumptions and say that they were not clean fates.
No. And to be fair, I assume from GW standpoint, they were like, here's this faction we don't do anything with at the time. We're not going to do a refresh in Age of Sigmar. We'll just let them be spirited away from Warhammer, never to be seen again, and we'll just never mention them in Age of Sigmar. Like, that's what I think they must be doing. That's the precedent they've set right now. I like to see some miniatures in the old times, but like, will it carry over to Age of Sigmar? I doubt it. But maybe. We see how well the sales do if they make the new army.
I doubt it'll like completely come over to AOS, but I mean, that being said, if we get a really cool fantasy army out of it, I'd still be pretty content.
Especially with like the sculptors for GW on like the fantasy Age of Sigmar side, getting them to sink their teeth into Cafe, like, hey, go nuts, here's the template with what Total Warhammer's done. They could make some cool stuff with that.
They could do some stuff. And all of the fantasy minis that are new with the old world, like the new Tomb King or the big dragon, the new like Ungerm Iron Fist, the dwarf, that new Empire general. They've all been pretty great looking. So I'm hoping that when Cathay's come out, it'll be a totally new army as far as models and quite frankly rules go. So if it does come out, and I'm hoping again with that teaser that it's a when it comes out, not an if, I'm looking forward to what they're going to produce, especially because boy, medieval China is really cool, and I would love to see an army of it.
Yeah, it'd be good. Is there anything else to talk about then?
I would say unless there's any other questions, that is that's about Cathay.
Wow. Well, again, I suppose it's just a case of I don't really have much to add. It's just they'd be insane not to make a new model range. It seems like they are, from what you said about, like, I think I know the image you're talking about where it's like a teaser that they are going to do that. And it's like the old world, if anything, is a way for GW to try new stuff, experiment, and go back to what the fans want. So there's no reason not to do Cafe.
Yeah.
I assume they're pretty much spent for like Total War DLC and game stuff, although maybe a new Legendary Lord here and there, or doubtful.
Total Warhammer still got some time, and they did make a couple other dragon siblings that are still alive and around. Mm. So I'm hoping we'll get at least one Legendary Lord, although I kind of want the monkey guy. I kind of want him before any other dragons. I like the monkey man.
Good.
Just for the sake of, there it is. That's the image. Kind of blurry, but
oh yeah,
you can see where they line up one to one. And I did again. Yeah, I saw that at LVO. I saw that image.
Yeah, that's definitely from there. Yeah.
So, real soft confirmation, because it's unnamed and it's just a screenshot of a mountain, but it's also that mountain.
Yeah, from that one thing. That's all about Cafe with no other factions present. Like, it's got to be that, surely. And it'd be good. It'd be nice to see. But I guess if that's all that we can talk about with Cafe, we hope you guys enjoyed our chat about them. Very cool faction, not very much in terms of lore until quite recently, very recently in terms of lore, considering how old the franchises are. And also, I guess, let us know in the comments if you have any other factions you want us to talk about. I'm assuming if they say, like, Araby or Nippon, we're going to go, 10-minute long video, there's not much to talk about them.
If you want one of those, it would that would have to be, like, a combined minor human nations one. Kislev?
Yeah.
Probably could stretch that, like, Cathay. That could probably be another one on its own. But if you want, like, Araby, Astalia, Tylea, we got to lump some folk together.
Yeah, we're not doing bespoke episodes. but again, there's all, to be fair, quite a few factions we still not talked about in the round. Like, there's still like Wood Elves. There's technically we haven't talked about the Tomb Kings yet, or Nagash and his stuff. We have talked about on the podcast, but not Fantasy Fireside. There's still factions we've yet to talk about. So please let us know in the comments about which ones you'd like to have us chat about. And before we go, if someone's curious about Cafe in specific, I assume just say go play Total Warhammer 3. That's probably the best way to experience them.
Yeah, that's a pretty good one. There is also, like I said, it's the, I think, the Master of the Meteor Wind. That's a fun short story about Cathay, about Yuan Bo in particular. I'd recommend you read that. It's like 30 pages. Read in like 15 minutes. Good book. Good little story. Yeah, go play Total Warhammer. That's where, again, a lot of this is coming from. And there is also some in the old world core rules. Does talk a little bit about the dragons and them there.
And if we raise enough money for Lore Crimes, we will covertly plan a mission to break into the vaults of GW to find that original rule book, and then we will publish it on the internet for free. But we will need to get some like night vision goggles,
yeah, we do
extraction
get a
helicopter. All the essentials we'll need for it.
We do have to get, yeah, we do got to get the heist equipment going, you know, that doesn't just come out.
The big underground drill that goes and that burrows into the side of the building and then goes up, Dr. Robotnik style. Like, we need some equipment, but if we can, we'll get our hands on that original, like, what would you call it? Like, resource, that original, like, blueprint for the faction, because I'm sure there's some fun stuff in that.
Oh, yeah.
That I want to see. But other than that, we hope you enjoyed today's video. Let us know what you want us to cover in the future. We also have another project that we're working on, but we won't mention it just yet, similar to Fantasy Fireside. And yeah, other than that, hope you guys enjoyed this episode, and we'll catch you later. Bye, everyone.
Take care, everyone.